tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. Philippians chapter 1, verse 10 reads this way. It says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people in your house, as your church, Lord. We ask your blessings on your word tonight. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds to guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, and Lord, that you might guide our hearts and minds to hear from you and to walk in your ways, and Lord, that you would strengthen the faith and the grace that you've given to us. Again, Lord, that we might be the witnesses that you called us to be in the light of the world, to be a blessing, Lord, to those that don't know you as Savior, and to encourage one another in the Lord. Bless tonight, and we'll praise and thank you. Again, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to spend a few brief moments considering God's will for your life. That's the title of the message tonight, God's will for your life. And when I say that, I mean our lives. Amen. Three thoughts: understanding God's desire, understanding the fruits of righteousness, and then we'll see for a few moments Paul's example. So, what is God's will for our life? And that, I believe it's that we may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Did you see that there in verse 10? That ye may approve the things or approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Did you see that? Do we understand what he's saying there? That we may be sincere, that means that the Greek word has the idea of without wax. And I'm not so sure if you're familiar with this, but during the first century, especially around Corinth, they had people that would sell different porcelain wares and things of that nature, a vase or a vase, and sometimes if they were dishonest, in the process of making these vases or vases, maybe there was a crack that would take place in the firing of the process of making these vases. They would put wax in there, and so if you wanted to see if it would hold water, that would be fine. It would hold water until it got around some hot water or some heat. Then that wax would go out of there, and then you'd have a broken vessel, a leaking vessel that would be no good. But that would be a work of deception. And so when God wants us to be sincere, the Greek word is without wax. We don't want to knowingly hide anything from God. Does that make sense? We don't want to knowingly say, oh, we'll excuse this and we'll cover this up. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to bring those things before him so that everything might be true through and through, that there wouldn't be any hidden parts, no areas in our lives that we would keep from the Lord. And so notice this. He says, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This is the work of God. This is God's will for our lives. That's the way he wants us to stand. You and I will never be able to do that in our own strength, will we? Can we do that in our own strength? God says that will never happen in our own strength. Oh, how much we need the grace of God that he has imparted into our lives through salvation. We need the Lord. And so let's look at this. Let's understand God's desire here. Back up with me, if you will, even to verse 7. And notice what he says here. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, listen to this, ye all are partakers of what? My grace. Do you know that you and I have the same grace that the Apostle Paul had? Is that amazing? So God is wanting us to realize, he is wanting us to understand the inventory of the blessings that he's placed into our lives, that we would not be naive or ignorant of what he's given to us and not become self-reliant of trying to do things for God in our own strength. That's our natural tendency, and we will always fail. Did you know that? God will never strengthen you. But he has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't ask us to pray for patience. He asks us to understand that we are filled by the grace of God. Because in Christ, God has given to us how many things? Amen. All things. In Christ, he has given to us all things. God is not a deliverer or a grantor of these just individual things of God. That's not the way the Lord works. I need patience today. God, Lord, just give me patience. God's not going to answer that prayer. We will fail the Lord if you ask him to be patient, if you ask him to be kind. He is not going to bless that because he's given to you something better than just those individual attributes of the grace of God. He has given to us the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him we are complete. Do you understand? God says, I've given to you my Son, and if I've freely given to you him, will he withhold any good thing from us? So we have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how our thinking sometimes misunderstands the truth of God. And so let me ask you this. Don't answer this out loud. Have you ever asked God to give you more patience? Don't answer that out loud. Have you ever asked God to strengthen you, to give you victory in a specific area? And if you would say, so let me ask you, don't answer this. Has he answered that prayer and you no longer ever again have any problems in that area? And the answer would be no, he's not answered that prayer. Why? Because that's not what where we're to look. He has given to us Christ, and in him we are complete. Do you see the difference? And so many times we get to looking at these little things that are important, but we get our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what God won't do? He will not share his glory with anyone. And as much as he loves us, he won't even share his glory with us. But he will glorify himself if we will allow him to in and through our lives. We will experience the grace and the glory of God in and through our lives if we'll understand exactly what he's wanting to do. So notice this. We are partakers of the same grace of the Apostle Paul. Notice this. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It's important. It's all in Christ. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. That's important. In the knowledge of what? The truth. In the knowledge of the truth. Listen, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. So God is wanting us to understand here as we consider this, that the knowledge of Christ reveals to us how God works through our life. The light bulb, God gives us the understanding, the aha moment, and then we realize, oh my goodness, it's even easier than I thought. It's not me, it's Christ in me that will make the difference in my life. And so what do we need to do? We need to say, Lord, I need you to guide me to understand your knowledge. Not my thinking, but your knowledge. I need to understand what you're doing in my life. And listen, he does this, and I just want to remind us, he does this through every situation and every circumstance in and through our lives. Whatever he's doing, he is working on us that we might die to self. Our self, the truth be known, it's not the world that's our greatest opposition. It's ourself. It's our thinking. We have to allow the Lord to break us that he might come forth. When we get to that place, then God starts doing some things and working in our lives and showing us some things where we understand, okay, I need to stay away from my thinking and adhere to and ask God to guide me into what he's trying to show me. And here's one truth. Does God work out all things for our good? We've looked at that several times. God works out all things for our good. Okay, so do we see that? That's important. Do all things. Listen, let's just get right down to it. All the uncomfortable things that we don't like. Do you know that's God working in us? Do you know that amazingly? So I think I mentioned this morning. Will anything stop the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You mean to tell me COVID won't stop the second coming of Christ? You mean to tell me that governments won't stop the second coming of Christ? You mean to tell me that China cannot stop the second coming of Christ? Why? Because God is in control. And God, listen, is God allowing China to do what it wants to do? And has he not, listen, has he not woven that to glorify himself? Did he not even glorify himself in Pharaoh opposing Moses? Did he not even glorify himself that all the world knew? When the Israelites were coming into the promised land, did all the other opposers of Israel not hear what God did for them in Egypt? Didn't they hear? Did God glorify himself even with Pharaoh objecting to what Moses was telling him God wanted? So now let's bring it down to this place. All the opposition in your life, is that not still? See, listen, it first passes through the will of God before it gets to us. Before it gets to us. And what God wants us to see is that it is him that is working in our lives. So every time, listen, God is wanting to expose ourself. Now, I'm gonna just remind us here. Have you ever been angry? And if you have been angry, it's because God is doing some things in our life to get rid of self. When we get angry, that's self. Even in the time of Joseph, when the brothers came back and Joseph revealed himself, And Jacob died, they all said, oh, now Joseph's going to take it out on us. And they went to him and they called themselves his servants, didn't they? Be kind to your servants. We know we've done wrong. And it broke Joseph's heart. He said, well, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Who did Joseph see when they did those things? Did he see his brothers or did he see God? And do you know what that, listen, if we want to experience the God with us, as he was with Joseph, then we need to ask God to help us to see. Listen, if we can see God, if we can ask God to bring us to the place to see him instead of people that are opposing us, do you know we will have his peace in the presence of opposition? Do you know the world doesn't understand that? Do you know really we don't understand that, but God wants to do that in our life? He wants to grant his peace. And listen, the cup of the Lord in your life, will you not drink it without mixture? Do you remember when the Lord was going to the cross and he was telling the disciples and he showed us, Lord, you know, if it be possible, remove this cup. In the same breath, he said, nevertheless, what did he say? Not my will, but thine be done. Why did he say that? Because at that moment, he was still God, 100% God, but he was 100% man too. He showed us the battle right there, but he submitted. And he even told the disciples, the cup that which my Father gives me, shall I not drink it? Because that shall never be to you, Lord. And what did he say to Peter? He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou. Listen, now savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Isn't that, think about that. Because that is what God is exactly trying to do in our lives. And when they gave him the vinegar mixed with gall to ease the pain, Jesus refused it because the cup of his Father could not be taken with mixture. It had to be pure because it's doing a work. And the cup of the Lord in your life, in my life, will we not drink it, trusting that it will honor and glorify the Lord? And even though it might be difficult, and even though it might be painful, will he not be right there with us? We need to stop looking to self, and we have to stop loving self, because we cannot even love ourselves, can we, more than we love God. Do you see the difference? God is wanting to do a work in our lives. I am convinced of that beyond the shadow of a doubt. But before we can do anything for God, we need to stop and allow him to do a work in us. Because it is then at that time that the Spirit of Christ that's in us through the Holy Spirit as we are broken and yielded before the Lord, will come out of us as we speak the word of God and bring conviction to the lost soul, because then our spirit with the Spirit of God will be touching them without mixture. But as long as we're in the way, they will never hear the Lord. They will hear us. And even though we may be preaching the truth and sharing the truth, it will not be with the grace and the power of God that God wants it to be. He is preparing the vessel for the Master's use. And when we allow him to do that, we will realize that the work that God wants to do is not through programs, and I'm not saying that programs are wrong, or not through human efforts, and I'm not, but it must be through a sanctified vessel for his honor and glory. God has never sidestepped that. Mankind may have. Oh, there have been all kinds of movements doing all kinds of things, but those are the things of man and not the things of God. God has never changed, has he? Tell me the programs that they had in the first century. I'm not against programs. I'm not against. In the first century, do you think they painted the ceilings of the houses black and they put all different kind of psychedelic colors in their day, candles up against the wall? Even though they would all light the same color, right? Did they bring any kind of bands to sing music? And they probably had musicians back then, wouldn't you imagine? They played different things they did during David's time. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but we cannot get in front of God and forget that he wants to first do a work in us as his church to be a vessel in the hand of God for his honor and glory. Do you know that God could do everything he wants to do with just us and bring conviction, and we'll glorify him? If you'll stop and consider the New Testament, it is constantly showing us what God wants to do, not through a program, but through us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything, but I'm saying more important than mailing out a bunch of flyers and listen, I mentioned this before, a preacher can go to seminary school and be very proficient, study to be very proficient in Hebrew and in Greek and in expository preaching and in outlining sermons. And if his heart's not right, can God use that one? Will God use somebody like that, that's got all a bunch of head knowledge and looking to themselves and what they have accomplished and what they can do for God? Aren't we guilty of doing the very same thing? Oh, look at that person. Oh, if they would just, if they got saved, what they could do for the Lord. Have we not been guilty of saying that? Let me tell you that, this. They, us, anybody can't do a thing for God without the grace of God. And yet we are, if we're not careful, see, I'm saying myself, I've done it too. Oh my goodness, what a preacher they would make. And I've missed it. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is, God's focus is on you and I. He says, oh no, listen, I want to use you if you'll allow me. I want to do a work that you might experience the grace of God and that souls would be saved through us by the grace of God coming out of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. That's God's will. If you'll look at the New Testament, he wants to work through your life and mine. Didn't we just see that we have the same grace, that we are partakers of Paul's grace? Didn't we see that in verse 7? Notice this right here. Again, in verse 9, he says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be, notice, sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, not by our power, but by the Lord." How? Listen to this. Being filled, how will we be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ? Well, you better go home and get busy doing something for the Lord. You better get busy working harder, right? No, that's not what God is saying. Notice what he says this here. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. How does that happen? Verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Not ours, but Christ's. Which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. And listen, there's only one person that can stop that. And that's us. Isn't it? That's us. Because we don't see God. Here's what we see. We see some person being unkind to us. We see some event not being what we would like, instead of seeing God trying to break us of ourselves. Because self is the biggest obstacle that he's trying to break. And then when we are humbled to see the Lord and to rest in him, that's what the little Israelitish maid saw with Naaman. When Naaman took her captive and she waited on Naaman's wife, she saw God involved in her life. She saw the Lord. How is that? How can you say that? Because she did not cry out against Naaman or his wife. She said, "Oh, would my Lord were with the prophet that is in Israel, for he would recover him of his leprosy." This little teenage Israelite, who was she thinking about? This man who took her captive. This man who took her captive. Is that natural? Is that what a little teenager would think if they were taken? No, they would be mad. We would be mad. Let me just say that. We would be mad. Let me just say this. I would be mad. I would be mad. And if I was left to myself in the flesh, I would be looking at Naaman and his wife with a very, not a positive attitude. But in Christ, she saw God. And her heart, do you see the love? And here's the crazy thing, that when one of the servants heard that, they went to her and said this, and then told the story, and then they went to the king, and the king moved because, listen, a little Israelitish maid said, "Oh, would my Lord, listen, were with the prophet that is in Israel, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Who did she see? Who was she seeing? Was she seeing Naaman? Was she seeing Naaman's wife? Was she seeing the servants of Naaman? Was she seeing the king of Syria? She saw God. She saw God. And they got it wrong. The king of Syria sent the message not to the prophet of Israel, but to the king of Israel. Who did the king of Israel see? He didn't see God. He saw that Syrian king wanting to pick a fight with him, didn't he? And he ripped up his clothes. Why? Why did he do that, this great king of Israel? Well, he really wasn't great. But anyway, because he didn't see God. He saw himself and what he was concerned about. His day got ruined. And he thought he was going to have trouble. And believe it or not, through this little Israelitish maid, was Naaman's life changed? Do you think Naaman saw that little Israelite? I believe Naaman was already impressed. How do I know it? With this little Israelitish maid, even before he went down to see the prophet that's in Israel, because he went. I believe everybody was impressed with the little Israelitish maid because of the spirit of Christ that was in her, because they moved. She had credibility to her word, just like Joseph did. I think she had the same spirit Joseph did, and that spirit was Christ. Did the same work. Did Naaman get recovered of his leprosy? Even better than that, when Naaman headed home, and his eyes met up with hers once again, do you think there was a different relationship altogether? Isn't that what our relationship with Christ is all about? And if we're not careful, we muddy it all up with ourself and our thinking in front of God. And so God wants to change our lives. And he says here, this is the same way. He says, verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren. Listen to this. But I would that ye should understand. If Paul is trying to get them to understand something, does it stand to reason they don't understand it? Right? If you're trying to get somebody to understand something, does it stand to reason that we don't understand it? But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which are happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Who was Paul seeing? Was he seeing the problems, or was he seeing God? He was seeing God. What are we seeing? Every time we get mad, every time we think the day is not going right, we're not seeing God. And if we're not seeing God, self is on the throne. Because even when Potiphar's wife accused Joseph and he was thrown into prison, there's this little phrase that says, and God was with him. Is God with us? And here's the thing, if we don't see that in times of trial, then self is blocking that. And if self is on the throne, the Holy Spirit it is not going to come through. Because we're not broken to where he can be used and available to us by the grace of God. And so he says this. He says, I want you to know the things that have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I want you to understand something that you don't understand. You might be looking at this wrong. You might be looking at this as something that is not right, and yet this will take place for the furtherance of the gospel. Notice verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Isn't that amazing? That this difficulty, this obstacle, is the cause of the grace of God being sent forth in and through the Apostle Paul. So we understand God's desire. He's wanting to work through us. And we understand here, as we consider the fruits of righteousness, that God works that in and through our lives. And then we find Paul's example here, and he's telling the believers here at Philippi, I want you to understand, don't see this. I want you to understand, don't see this incorrectly. Don't see this wrongly, if you will. Understand that God is wanting us to understand him and how he works. Do you think maybe Israel that crucified the Lord, do you think they thought maybe they had won a victory? Do you think the devil thought maybe he was the winner, the victor, and yet he was the loser, wasn't he? And do you think, unfortunately, the apostles and the disciples of the Lord, they didn't understand what was taking place, did they? But when they understood, they said, oh, the way of suffering leads home. The way of suffering leads us to the place that God wants us to understand and to experience. So he says, verse 13, so my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds and much more, notice, bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, this is the opposition, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, listen, every way, and whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Is Paul on top side? Is Paul, yes, he's on top side, isn't he? Is Paul experiencing opposition? Yes, he is. But who does Paul see? The Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God and the gospel going forward. And so he says, for I know this, notice this, in verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply, listen to this, and the supply of the what? Spirit of how? By the afflictions, by the oppositions. I know when the opposition is taking place, the opportunity of the work of the Spirit is at hand. That's what he's saying. Understanding this, and then notice, according to my earnest expectation, he's learned this, and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, listen, Christ shall be magnified where? In my body, whether by life or death. The Lord took him to that place to see that. And then he says this famous verse that we all are familiar with. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Lord brought him there. You know why? Because he was willing to drink the cup of the Lord without mixture. He was willing to let God, allow God to have his way with Paul. And do you know the same is true? Are we not? Did we not see here in verse 7 that we are partakers? Paul said, ye are all partakers of my grace. Isn't that what Paul said? If we are partakers of the same grace, then we have the same opportunity, that not the same calling as an apostle, but the same privilege of God working in and through our lives, because we're partakers of the same. You are all partakers, Paul said, of my grace. So that means we have the same God at work in our lives. So that is God's will for our life, that we might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, not by our strength, but by His. Does that make sense tonight? What a great God we serve, and what liberty we have as long as we are abiding. That's the abiding part. Abide in me and I in you. He's in us, but we need to abide in Him. And how's that? That we might see God at work when we are in the most uncomfortable position. We have to ask God to help us to see that. And when God brings you into that place, you say, Lord, help me to see you. You are trying to crucify my flesh. You are trying to break my old man. Not annihilate, not destroy it, but break it that you might come forth, that I might have your peace. And not a manufactured peace. Not a I'm supposed to be happy now and I'm really not happy because I'm not biting my tongue peace. You know, but really having the peace of God that is effortless, where we are resting in Christ in the midst of a trial. I don't think Paul was listen, do you think Daniel, when he was thrown in the lion's den, do you think he was all worked up about it? No, he went to the window and opened it anyway, didn't he? He knew what was coming. He knew their plan, and he still went to the window. Do you know why? Where was his confidence at that time? It wasn't in himself. If you and I are full of self, we'd have thought of all different kinds of ways to keep that door closed and maybe head for the hills. But Paul had, or Daniel, I maybe said Paul before, what is Daniel, had his confidence in the Lord. And you and I have the same grace. Do we not? We have the same Spirit. All we have to do is be submissive and allow Him to do His work in us, and we will have the same rest. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds, that we might see things as You see them and not as we see them, the world and all the opposition, and we get all worked up and all upset instead of resting in You. I pray, Lord, that You would do a work in our hearts here at Northwood Baptist Church, that we would truly be servants, resting and dependent upon Your grace and power and not our own. Bless the invitation. Bless Northwood, Lord, even all Your churches, to stand in Your grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.